Dean. Hadn't talked to you in a while. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. I'm pulling out of the parking lot at work, headed home, so couldn't get much better.
Well, I'm glad that you're finally headed home from a hard day's at work. You have a safe trip on up there. How'd your day go?
For a Friday, it got really busy, but they had a couple guys that they made them come out and help me. I had one pickup that decided to ship out four trailers today instead of just one, which turnaround time is about 35, 40 minutes, so that can add up.
Place I used to pick up there off of 290.
Beginning of the month, every month, they can get heavy. They warehouse supplies for big department stores, Bell's and JCPenney's. So they have everything from toilet paper to the bags to the, you know, copy paper to anything, and they'll ship out trailer loads of stuff for several days in a row going to different places around the country.
Not completely, and there's quite a few companies that are that way. I used to pick up at a couple of them. Of course, we didn't pick up four or five trailer loads at the time. We got one, but the folks you work for and a couple of the other outfits around, they'd have a guy up there swapping trailers out and another guy just hauling them back, you know. And they'd bring him an empty and he'd pull one out and he'd back it in and they'd do their drop hook, and then the guy up there would hook up to it and back it back in the hole, and if when they got another one ready, he'd grab it and go with it.
Fun place up there in Spartanburg, man. One year I was running a route. They had a lot of, I went to Columbia and came back, but then it was just kind of do whatever they needed. And I would just take empties nonstop for 3 or 4 hours or more, just dropping them there in their parking lot so they'd have them for later.
Doubt that a bit in the world. I mean, it's amazing how quickly they can fill those trailers up, even the pup trailers. You know, if you're hauling the bigger trailers, it takes them a little bit longer, but still, they'll load them up and then keeps the local drivers real busy going back and forth. And I would rather go to a different place instead of going to, you know, back and forth to the same place four, five, six times. I'd rather go to a different place. It kind of broke the monotony of it up a little bit.
Yeah, that wasn't every day like that. Sometimes I need to go to Union and make a pickup down there, or take this trailer to Greenwood and pick up down there. So that kind of helped out. But Christmas time at Amazon, they can use empties anytime for the every day during Christmas holiday season.
I feel for these little delivery drivers that drive the small delivery trucks. A lot of folks have gone to ordering stuff off online, whether it be Amazon or whoever. And these poor delivery drivers, they're running them to death. But with the COVID and all that, I guess that's a good thing. But there again, you know, they've had to hire more people to help take care of the load. But I know that there's a lot of folks out there that don't go anywhere anymore, and all they do is sit there and order stuff online, and somebody got to bring it to them.
This past year, our business didn't drop off much after Christmas like it normally does, and we have put on a lot of new drivers in the last couple of years. I don't even know half of them anymore. Like, I used to know everybody, but there's so many new faces, I can't even keep them straight.
And that, well, I hate hang on a minute, cough, but I hate it that they're having to put so many more folks on, but at the same time, it's good for the folks that are looking for a job. So I guess it's good all the way around, one way or the other. But one of these days, they're not going to have stores anymore the way things are going. You know, you'll go online and order your groceries or your clothes or whatnot, and have them brought to your house. That way you won't have to go anywhere. So I don't guess they'll have to worry about these cars that drive themselves. when that comes about, there'll be somebody else out there either driving a truck or they'll figure out a way for the truck to drive itself, and then that'll put a lot of people out of work.
I'll be done by that time, because they'll have to have somebody sitting in the passenger seat, or they might do like a line of trucks, three or four in a convoy and a driver in the front truck or something, but I don't want any part of that.
Either. I don't want to be out there on the road with a vehicle that doesn't have somebody behind the wheel. Because, you know, if it's man-made, it will break.
You can watch people, and, you know, if you drive defensively, you can kind of get an idea what somebody's going to do for the most part, but there's no telling what a computer's going to do.
That's a fact. Yeah, you can watch the folks and say, well, this guy's fixing to, he's going to jump out past this car, he's going to cut back in front of me or whatnot. And one that didn't have a driver in it, had a computer doing it, you don't know what it's liable to do.
My age getting to me, because I know my kids, they love the technology. I mean, I like some of it, and I appreciate what it can do and how it makes some parts of life easier, but I'm not all gung-ho with technology taking over.
Think about those movies like The Matrix and stuff like that, you know, where the machines run everything. I don't know that will ever happen, but I'm not looking forward to it if it gets there.
So, Gary, I hope you guys are doing well. You and Joyce?
Well, thanks for asking. I hope you and yours are doing good. You on your way back up to Cleveland?
Just got on Whitehorse off 85, headed that way. And yeah, I'd like to check into the net more often than I need to. When I was working at night, you know, it was perfect timing. I'd leave the building about the time the net would start. But now when I get home, I'm either in the shower or talking to the wife or watching something with her or going to bed. So I need to check into the net more often.
Bad. We all get into that. You know, I take it by spells. I try to check in just about every night. But sometimes I'll be in there watching a program or a race or a ball game or whatever, and net time will slip up on me, and then by the time I remember it, I'll look up the clock and come in and turn the radios on, and it's already over with. But don't feel lonesome. We all do that, and we know you sure check in when you can. But we do miss you.
That's when I was working at night, because especially your net would usually last the longest, and I'd be halfway to, well, I'd be down in Georgia by the time it would finish up a lot of times. I always enjoyed Ray coming in there. My oldest son bought a house on his street, and I was hoping I'd run into him, and I actually did one day. He was out with his lawnmower, had the hood up or looking at the back of it or something. I tried to talk to him, tell him who I was, but the lawnmower was running. I don't think he could hear very well at that point, and I didn't want to bother him, and it was during this time, too. I didn't want to get too close to him, but it was good to see him, and I sure do miss him.
Miss him as well. I got up there to visit with him about a week before he passed away. We sat in the kitchen there and drank coffee for a better part of 4 hours or so. And just sat there and chit-chatted, caught up, that sort of thing. And well, he's one that will be missed. Of course, we've lost quite a few here recently. We've lost Ray, and then we lost Fletch, K4YNG, and then we lost Steve, K4ZZX, and now we've lost AK, W4AKG. So that's in the last 5 months.
About AK, I remember Fletch. I mean, he passed away. I remember hearing that, but I didn't know about AK.
They passed away this past Wednesday, and they're going to have funeral services for him tomorrow at their church. If you Google Robinson Funeral Home in Easley, when their homepage comes up, it says obituaries. You just click on that, and it tells you all the information about the funeral services.
Man, man, I tell you what, there's some, I know you've been around a long time, but some of those, the nets we used to have and some of those voices, I can still hear them coming in. Funny thing, I was talking to Ray years ago, and one of the guys that I work with, he's retired now, he told me that he knew Ray. He saw my ham plate, and he asked me if I knew Ray, and I said yes, and he said, my dad was, knew Ray, said, in fact, I think my dad was the one that got Ray into ham radio. So sure enough, I mentioned it to Ray, and boy, that just brought back memories, and he told me about Harry Calloway, who I never met. That was Alan's dad, but he said Harry gave Ray his first radio when he got his ham ticket, however long ago that was. So that was a pretty neat story.
AKI4DOS, that was cool, no doubt. My father-in-law was a ham, and he and Ray were pretty close, and his call was WB4YUO. And when I got out of service in 74, my father-in-law tried to get me into ham radio then. And I met Ray along that time, so I've known him since back in the 70s, so known him a long time. But I waited until 2004 to get my license. So I waited 30 years after I got out of service. And like I said, my father-in-law, most of that time was trying to get me to get my license, and I wouldn't do it.
Father-in-law, was it WB4YUO? That sounds familiar.
George Dickard, that was my father-in-law, WB4YUO. And then my brother-in-law, his name was George also, George Dickard. His was KD4JDW. And he's Silent Key now, but him and Daddy both are Silent Keys. But Daddy's been in it for a long time.
Was it somebody I would have heard on the air here?
He lived over in Greenville for years and years, and then, oh gosh, I don't remember when he moved. He moved down to Lake Secession. He bought a place down there, and he lived down there. Right before he passed away, he moved. They had a house up here and one down there, and they moved back to Greenville because it was closer to the doctors and that sort of thing. But Daddy was on 2 meters and HF as well. So yeah, I'm sure you probably heard him at some point in time. Matter of fact, when he was down at Lake Secession, and this was after I got my license in 2004, had a UHF, VHF station set up down there, and I talked to him on the repeater, and when Joy got her license, she talked to him on the radio a little bit, and of course, and then he got his ham station, his HF station put up, and he got where he didn't get on 2 meters much anymore.
I heard him. That call's really familiar. I was just thinking while you were talking, you know, you said, I didn't realize it was 2004 when you got your license. I got mine in 91, and I was originally licensed as a KC4 VSC. And I was just thinking about how long it took from 91 to 2004 just to get to the KDs. And boy, it's like it goes in spurts, because sometimes it seems like less than a year and we're already at a different, you know, go from a KN to a KO or something like that.
Amazing. That just means one thing, that there's more people interested in ham radio than a lot of people think for, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, I've been a VE for a while now, and we went through the KMs, the KNs. Now they're up to the KOs. So, you know, there's been a lot of hams. You start figuring out how many different combinations of call signs. And of course, our area is a big area. You know, the four area, it covers about five, six states, seven states. And so it covers quite an area. But there's a lot of new hams in this. But you figure up the different combinations of the call signs. There's a lot of new hams out there.
this call was my father-in-law's. He got me into it. They moved down from Delaware. He had to change. That was back when you had to have a call in your area. He was an N3 station when he moved down here. Got the N4ZLK call, or N4ZLK is how he said it. And after he passed away, within, I don't know, it might have happened before he passed away, but they came out with the vanity call. So as soon as I was able, I applied for this one and got it. I'll probably never change it. Even if I upgrade to extra, I'll probably just keep this one.
Well, I've had several folks ask me, why don't you change your call sign? And I said, well, would nobody know me? I'd have to start all over again. So I just figured I'd keep the call I was given. Now Joy, on the other hand, she got her call, and very shortly thereafter, she got her a vanity call. It's K3JOY. And, since we don't have to be in that call area now, she got it, and she wanted one with her name. And actually, when we started looking to start with, K4JOY was available. But by the time she applied for it, somebody else had already gotten it. And then the 3 came available, and she applied for it and got it. But I've had mine so long now, if I changed mine, nobody'd know who I was. I'd have to explain who I was again.
Saying, but I think your voice would give you away, because you're like an old friend on the radio. I know exactly who you are as soon as I hear you talking.
And it's amazing how many folks that I have met at the Ham Fest. I'll be walking by and somebody will be talking, and I'll turn around and say, aha, I know who you are. Call them by name and give them their call sign just by listening to their voice. But I thank you for that, Shane. That's a big compliment.
And for, oh goodness, since 91, for the most part, I didn't used to talk very often, but I always enjoyed listening. I learned a lot from a lot of you guys and listen to the technical stuff when people talk, and I really enjoy it. So I'm trying to get into talking more now that I'm getting a little older than I used to be. I'm starting to enjoy it a little more. I can talk face-to-face. My wife calls me a social butterfly. I love talking to people, but I was always a little nervous on the radio for some reason. I'm not sure why.
It may be that, when you're talking to people, you can read their expressions and that sort of thing sometimes. But old Chet, can't remember his call right off the top of my head for some reason. Anyway, he's up. Used to call the 6600 net on Mount Mitchell machine. He told me, he said, don't be afraid of that microphone. It won't bite you. And ever since he told me that, I guess I got over my mic fright.
Good people out here too, and so many new guys that are really nice. It's a community in of itself, and I really enjoy it. But when I'm driving around in the daytime, especially around town, you think, okay, I'm driving around town. I have plenty of time to talk on the radio. But, man, I'm changing gears so often, it's hard to pick up the microphone.
That, and, tell them you want them to buy you an automatic. That way you don't have to change gears.
Automatics, the Kenworth, I don't really like. We've got a Mac it's technically not an automatic. It's an air-assisted clutch. And that's a good one to drive. I like that. But somebody else uses it. I could be a butt and pull seniority and take it from them. But I like the one I drive. I'm used to it. And I got my radio in it. I'd have to switch it out, So it's just easier to stay with the one I'm in.
Well, I don't like an automatic in a big truck to start with. We had some where I retired from, and I drove them a few times, but I didn't enjoy that. Of course, I've been changing gears for 45 years, so it gets kind of boring if you sit there and just mash on the pedals. when you're changing gears, it gives you something to do. A lot to get out there on the interstate and long distance trucking, you put it in the big hole and you just sit there and forget about it. You might as well be in an automatic unless you're in the mountains. And then you still have to change a few, but for the most part, you just sit there ride and guide, as we used to say. But the automatics, I would imagine, wouldn't be too terribly bad around town. But there again, you know, you get accustomed to changing gears and gives you a little something to do. And I'd rather do that than I had just jump in and pull it down and drive and go.
Is that okay? I might be a little choppy here. I bumped the power up. The Kenworth, the first one we got, the automatic, they have the bright idea of when it's in reverse, the drive won't engage until you start pressing the accelerator. And as soon as you let off the accelerator to touch the brake, it disengages. So imagine trying to back to a dock, you know, and backing uphill. You end up slamming against the dock because it doesn't engage, and all of a sudden it does. You start pressing a little bit harder. They did change that. We got another new Kenworth a couple years later, and it was a little better. But they also go through every gear. When you step on the gas and you're trying to pull out, it goes through all 10 gears. The Mac will, based on the weight and based on how hard you press the clutch or press the accelerator, and it'll skip a lot of gears, and that makes a big difference.
Does make a lot of difference. And we had we had Volvos, and the first automatic Volvos we got were that way. And I told them, I said, I can't drive that truck. And they said, why? I said, I can't back it up. And they said, well, you backed it into the dock fine. I said, yep. I said, but if you let off on that accelerator, it quits putting pressure on the trailer. And, you know, if there's a little grade, you're either going to hit the dock hard, or you're not going to get to it, you're going to have to start all over again. And I said, I'd just rather have a clutch, and that way I can judge where the dock is and go from there. But that was a good thing that they changed in those transmissions. And, you know, where they would stay engaged till you bump the dock when you let off the accelerator a little bit in reverse. But the other part, that, you know, about it going through all the gears, I don't blame you. I think I'd rather have the Mac as well. I don't want to have to go through four or five gears when you could have started off in third or fourth and, you know, skipped two or three gears and got rolling a little quicker.
Got a little button on the side of the gear selector that you can, you know, you can override it. But it's still one step at a time, and you know how that is. The computer, once you push the button, it doesn't automatically change it. But anyway, it is what it is. I like having the clutch to be able to control it, especially backing up. You can hold it in position if you need to.
EOS with M4ZLK. Yeah, that's true, Zane. And like I said, I would much rather have a straight drive than I had an automatic in a big truck. But that's just me, and I'm set in my old age, my old ways. But you know, even with that, they've come a long way with the transmissions in the big trucks. Used to, you had to, depending on who made the transmission, you either had to push your clutch in every time, or you had to double clutch it, and every time you changed the gears. And then they got on up to the little fancier transmissions to where you could push the clutch in and start off, and, you know, you let the clutch out to start off. And you didn't have to use the clutch after that. And you could change the gears, and they just floated right in. But, yeah, that took a little practice as well. But I had one fella tell me, he says, if you can't double clutch, you can't drive a truck. And I said, okay.
Okay. Yeah, one of the reasons they're buying automatics is they can't find anybody that can drive a stick shift anymore, these younger guys. And, you know, they promote from within and they do their own training. Unless they build a new hub or a big building up in Charlotte, West Charlotte, right there at the 485 exchange, and they couldn't find enough drivers, so they hired off the street. But they usually don't do that. But yeah, I like when they train us, they tell us, you know, tap the clutch a little bit between every gear. But I mean, that's still old school. These clutches now, or these transmissions now, is exactly what you said. You don't even have to use a clutch once you get moving.
One other reason that they're getting away from the straight drives, just like you said, there's a lot of folks that don't know how to drive a clutch. And then they're having to replace a clutch if somebody gets in there and don't know how, and they ride the clutch real bad all the time and slip it and burn the clutches out, and that's more maintenance on them. So I guess that's another reason for a company to go to an automatic, because the transmission seemed to hold up pretty good so far. As I hadn't been keeping up with it since I retired too much, but they seem to hold up pretty well. Now, the older straight drive transmissions held up real well, except for the clutches. And it depended on the driver as to how long the clutch would last. Of course, that goes with your personal vehicle as well. You know, it depends on how the driver transmission and the clutches and all of that is how long they last.
Just like you, I grew up on driving a stick shift. In fact, when I got my permit when I was 15, I drove home from the DMV in an old 60s Ford van with it on the column. I'd driven around the yard, but I hadn't driven that one out on the road yet. That was a little interesting, but, you know, it's just second nature. But even with our small package cars, the little route vans that we drive around, they had to go to automatics too, just for that. That was one of the main reasons. They couldn't find anybody that could drive a stick shift anymore.
Buddy, my two boys, grown men now, Anthony's 45, 46, something like that, and Stephen's 5 years younger than he is. When they were learning to drive, I made them learn to drive a straight drive, you know, stick shift, and one of them asked me, I don't remember which one it was, might have been both of them, why do I have to learn this? You know, the car's an automatic, and I don't want to drive your old pickup truck. And I said, well, if you can drive my truck, you can drive anything. I said, if you learn to drive an automatic and if something happens to the car and I need you to get the truck and go somewhere, you can't. And it kind of made sense to them, and they said, okay, and they finally learned to drive a straight drive, and now they're both glad that they did.
I wanted to drive a stick shift. I wanted, you know, I like driving. Of course, I would have to, I guess, for this kind of job. But even when I was a kid, I wanted to learn how to drive it. I thought that was I wanted a first, you know, my first car, I wanted it to have a stick shift. I wanted to know how to do it. Of course, now it is nice to get in this truck with an automatic and just drive home without having to change gears. But I was looking for one with the six-speed in it.
Funny, I bought a Chevrolet Dually years ago, and it was straight drive. And then, of course, I drove a big truck. When I bought my present pickup truck, I bought it brand new in '96, and it had an automatic transmission in it. And I thought about that, and I said, well, you know, that might not be too bad. And running up down 85, I worked up there off of Highway 101. And in the mornings and the evenings, you know, I would say to myself, you know, I'm glad that I bought an automatic. Because sometimes I'd have to be at work at, you know, 7, 8 o'clock, and traffic wasn't too bad before 7, but you get around 7 to 8 o'clock, the traffic was horrendous. And very rarely did I get off of, you know, 4 or 5. But then the traffic was horrendous in the afternoons. But I had to work a little later than that. Most of the time I went in a little earlier than that. So it worked out pretty well. But the times I did get caught in the traffic, I was glad I had an automatic.
Okay. Yeah, you passed me one morning back before you retired. I was headed up to Spartanburg from Greenville. I think that was when I was going to Columbia first thing, and then I'd go up to Spartanburg and do whatever they need me to do. And it was in the morning one time. I looked over in the left lane, and there you went. I won't, if Joy's listening, I won't tell her how fast you were going past me.
Ain't no telling how fast I was going over if I was in the left lane. But it was not the speed limit, I'll put it that way.
I tried to call you because I had the radio in the truck at that point, but whenever I see somebody with a ham tag go by, I'll try to call them. But I know you didn't respond, so you must have not had the radio on. But I do remember that day.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that day. I don't remember passing you in particular because we didn't talk. But a lot of times when I'm in the truck, you know, well, now that I got a dual band radio, when I'm traveling, I'll put the one frequency on the simplex, you know, the call frequency on simplex, and then the other one I'll put it on scan during, you know, for the repeaters that are going to be in the areas that I'm going through, and I just let the other side scan. So if folks want to get me, they can call me on simplex and I can hear them, or if the repeater just happens to, I mean, if the radio happens to be on the repeater that's being used, I can hear them. But if it goes to something else, I won't hear it until it gets back around to that particular repeater. So it may have been in that situation, Shane. I don't know.
I just thought it was funny. I saw a car on White Horse Road one day. They had a North Carolina tag, but he reminded me of my father-in-law. He had those big letters, you know, you can put on the mailbox. He had them on his bumper and had 14652 on it. And I tried to call him, but he had a ham tag, but he and his wife were in the car, and it was an older couple. Must not have had the radio on, but it reminded me of my father-in-law. He had those big stickers on his bumper as well.
AOS. I was talking to a gentleman. I was going to Statesville, North Carolina. Joy and I on the 4th of July one year. And there was a big truck behind me, and he had saw my ham tag, and he got on the simplex on the 5 to 2 call frequency on simplex, and he called me on the on the simplex there, and we talked for miles and miles and miles running up the interstate on simplex, and I really enjoyed that. But he had a big screwdriver type antenna on his mirror, and he had he told me what kind of radio he had, but I don't remember. But he flipped it down, and he had a 5/8 wave 2 meter radio on one mirror, and had that big screwdriver on the other mirror. And so he was able to get on VHF and HF as well. And like I said, we talked on simplex for a long time, and we even changed frequencies to get off the call channel, you know, call frequency, and moved up a few KCs. And but we had a good conversation, and he and I enjoy talked to him. When he found out that she was a ham, and that worked out real well. But, there's a lot more folks out there in the big trucks now with ham radios than you would think for.
That okay? Yeah, I was down in Atlanta sitting there on the west side in one of our hubs. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I got on simplex and just threw my call out, and first guy that came back he's about 20 miles northwest of Atlanta. I think that's what he said. Kind of up on a hill, maybe even further. So we had a little bit of a conversation. And when we got done, another guy came in and said he was not too far. He was sitting in a sleeper cab, and he couldn't sleep, and he had heard us talking. So we talked for a little bit. That was fun. But a lot of the truck drivers don't use CBs anymore. They get a few of them on there, but nobody uses them anymore.
When they deregulated CB, you know, when they took the 11-meter band out from the hams, it kind of went downhill quick. And that's one of the reasons I got into ham radio. I had CBs in my big trucks for a lot of years, and then got to talking to my father-in-law, and he said, well, you know, you could go take your test. You could get one of these, and you could talk all over the world. And that's okay. So I finally bit the bullet and went and took the test and got my license and then upgraded again. And I've enjoyed it ever since. I don't regret it not one little bit.
The nice thing about the CB going down the road is when, you know, you get into traffic. If there's an accident or something, somebody usually can let you know what's going on. But when I first started doing this, 2014, it just seemed a lot busier. And the last time I was working nights, about a year and a half ago, that you run into traffic somewhere in the middle of the night, and nobody would even be on the radio telling you what was going on.
The main reasons I got out of it and got into ham radio, or got rid of the CBs that I had, is I don't remember where I was now. I had to go someplace, and people weren't answering their phones because the place was not open yet, and I was trying to make a delivery. And I got close to the place with maps, but I didn't have a GPS in the truck and all this. All I had was my Rand McNally, and they didn't have a breakdown of the city that I was in. And I asked a fellow on the radio for directions into that place. And I want you to know, he gave me pretty decent directions except for one turn. I was supposed to turn right, but he told me to turn left. And when I turned left, he did it on purpose, because I found out later that he had done that to a lot of other truck drivers. If you turned to the right, you would have went down to the place of business. If you turned left, you go down into a residential area, and if you go far enough, there's the road drops from a four lane to a two lane, and then there's a bridge down there that has about a 2,500-pound weight limit on it. So then you got to back out of that place, and he did it just to aggravate the truck drivers.
Wow. He probably wasn't a truck driver. He probably lived around there.
I don't know if he lived down there or if real close or what, but a truck driver had made him mad at some point in time. That's all I can think of, is because he if somebody asked for directions and if he went back to them, that's the way he told them to go. And if nobody else went in there and corrected him, then he was sitting back up there laughing and giggling the whole time. The poor driver had to get down in there and try to get back out. And, of course, you know, if the police get down in there, they're going to say, what are you doing on this road? So there you go. But I made it back out with no problems and got back over to where I was supposed to deliver. And I got over there, and I told him, I said, I talked to this guy. They said, yeah. I said, he tells a lot of the drivers coming in here to go that way. And they said, all you got to do is make a right instead of a left right there, and you're here. I said, well, you don't know that if you're talking to them on the CB. I said, if you're talking to them on the phone, that makes a difference. But I quit trying to get directions off CB after that.
Gary, that's one of those lessons you learn right away, hopefully. We've had a couple guys get either turned around or somebody gave them bad directions from where they left to get somewhere else, and they end up with a set, doubles, end up on a cul-de-sac or something, having to break it down in the middle of the night, waking up neighbors. That's happened a few times.
At EOS, I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of you'd have to break a set of doubles down in a cul-de-sac in the middle of the night because somebody gave me bad directions. My road rage would probably pop a cork somewhere.
And then you go to build it or break it down, you do something wrong because you're so angry, you forget something important. I've been down a road that I was worried in a set one time, but fortunately I was fine, and it was kind of my fault, but not my fault. I was new, and I didn't remember how to get to where I was going, and I wasn't supposed to be working that long or going to there. I was just supposed to make a quick trip down to Columbia and back up, and they ended up sending me to Greensboro, and they told me I had to go. There was, you know, nothing else I could do. I had to go, and ended up running out of time. They had to come get me off the road coming back in Gaffney, but that was, I was a little worried that night.
Goodness, that would be a terrible situation to be in. I never worried about running out of time. Probably should have on several different occasions. But, you know, you go somewhere and you got a deadline to meet, you know, that you've got to, well, like you going to Greensboro, and then that load has got to get back to Greenville or Charlotte or wherever it was going, whether you ran out of hours or not. And I was told to use my own discretion, but, you know, if I got pulled over and stopped, it was my ticket. And so if I ever had to go over hours like that, I was always doubly careful because I didn't want to get in an accident or anything, because that would have really messed up my driving record and then my employment record and all of that. But I hated they had to come get you, but, you know, they knew what they were asking you to do, and they knew about where you would run out. So it all worked out, because I'm sure they made arrangements ahead of time while you were in transit to be able to get over there and pick you up.
Okay, yeah, my boss was fine with it. I was pulling an empty back, so it wasn't that big of a deal, but he came out with another driver, and that guy just took my empty and used it. But, he just said, if they ever tell you, if that ever happens again, you just call me. He said, I'll put a stop to it. But he didn't know, you know, I was kind of new, and he had just said, come in and run down to Columbia real quick. You'll be done, you know, 6-7 hours, whatever. And it didn't work out that way. But that's one of those things. And you know, everything's on electronic log now, too. It's a little bit different.
Yeah, it's hard to fool those electronic logs. Trying to, you know, they know when you started, when you stopped, and if the vehicle's moving, they know it's supposed to be on the driving line, and so it's kind of hard to fool them. The paper logs were a whole lot easier to fool, and that's the reason we call them funny books, I guess. But they don't have those anymore, so I guess that's a good thing as far as that goes, that the hours of service that make sure that the drivers have enough rest and that sort of thing. But it sure did slow things down in some respects, and other ways it speeded it up because they had to hire a few more drivers.
And I hurt some of the over-the-road drivers just because of, you know, you have to take a 30, but you can only drive 11 hours total. And, you know, it used to be you could stop and take a nice break if you needed to. But now when you're tired, you got to keep going because you may have a deadline to meet. And I think it ends up making people drive more tired.
You know, I don't know. I've been out of it for 5 years. And it was not completely mandatory when I retired. And now it's mandatory, I think, for everybody to have electronic logs. So it's one of those catch-22s, I guess, Shane.
It was people that didn't do the job were trying to come up with ways of being safe. You know, their ideas of being safer, but sometimes I think it ends up pushing people, they have to drive longer between rest time, and then they have to be off for 10 hours, and, you know, who sleeps for 10 hours, you know? Anyway, that's just one of those things. It doesn't affect us that much. Most of our runs are, you know, 8-9 hour runs. We can be done. That was what happened to me that day, was just kind of unusual, because it wasn't any kind of planned work. It was just something they needed extra.
for DOS. Yeah, I'm with you. I think they may have changed the ruling now. But when they first came out with the 10-hour break rule, you couldn't split that up. The sleeper berth, you know, we used to split hours, you know, sleep 4 hours and then get up and drive and then stop and sleep 4 hours and then you got an 8-hour break. Well, they wouldn't let you split that 10 hours up when they first came out with that. It may be different now, I don't know. But to have to sit in one spot for 10 hours, you can tell right quick they ain't never been out there in a truck.
Still, you got to take 10 hours off between shifts. So, anyway, that's enough of that. I'm pulling in the driveway, Gary. I appreciate the ride home. I enjoyed it. It's good to talk to you, and hope you have a great weekend. And I hope to do this again. KI4DOS N4ZLK. Really enjoyed it.
Glad that you came back to me when I threw my call sign out, and we got to talk. Glad you got home safely. You and the Pretty Bride have a good evening. Joy and I are going to do our best. Y'all have a great weekend. Enjoy your little bit of time off, and don't work too hard, and we'll talk at you a little bit later. Enjoy it, Shane. 73 there, young man. N4ZLK, KI4DOS.
We can barely pick you up on Simplex, so if I get an antenna up on the roof, we could probably talk on Simplex. Anyway, have a good evening. N4ZLK.
Well, I've got my antenna pointed at Caesar's Head there at the repeater site, so I might be able to tweak it a little bit and might be able to talk Simplex anyway. Y'all have a good weekend. 73, N4ZLK, KI4DOS.
For Golf Whiskey Romeo Mobile, standing by. I'm coming.
For GWR, that's KI4DOS. That does.
This is KO4, Gulf Whiskey Romeo, searching for radio contact. How about you? Over.